Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 3. And in just a moment, I want to begin in verse number 13. Now, this morning, I chose to preach on the subject, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. And if you were not able to be here, I want to encourage you to, you can go online. And by the way, on our website, you can watch or listen to any service that we have here at the church. And you can encourage others to do that. If you'd like a CD, you can see contact the office, see Brother Don concerning that as well. But this morning, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. But tonight, the Lord has led me to preach on this subject, encouraging one another. How we need encouragement. Do you know that discouragers are found everywhere? Just listen to the news, you know. Just read the newspaper. Discouragers are found everywhere. In fact, William Barclay said this, "One of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at human beings. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage other people." He said, we have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a person on their feet. Blessed is the one who speaks a word of encouragement. Now, by the way, I believe that there are gifts that God gives to people. And I believe there is the gifts of helps and all of that. But can I tell you something about being an encouragement? It is not a gift. It is a duty that God has given to each and every one of us. Now, some people seem to have the ability, the God-given ability, to be able to encourage a little easier than other people. But brethren, we need to pray and we need to seek and ask God to help us to be an encourager to one another. Now, tonight, I'm going to give you some simple things. I pray that God would use this in my life and use this in your life. Can I tell you this? Every message that I preach is not that I have found all throughout the week. I've contacted people and found out all the sins of Grace Baptist Church, all right? And I come on Sunday and I let them have it, you know? That's not it at all. What it is as God works in my heart and as the Lord leads me, things that I need in my own life. I preached you that message this morning, and it went right along with our series, but I'm going to be very honest with you. No one needed that more than I needed it, because I struggle at times to encourage myself in the Lord. I think sometimes, you know, the old proverbial saying, the doctor is the one who's the sickest or has his family the sickest, and the person, you know, and if we're not careful, if we are the one giving, sometimes we are not taking in what we should be taking in. And we need to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ to find the encouragement that only He can give. And I need that. But God has commissioned every one of us tonight to be an encourager. Now, folks, this goes down to the very heart of everything. Husbands, we are to encourage our wives. Wives, we are to encourage our husbands. Parents, we are to encourage our children. But children, we are to encourage our parents. Every one of us is commissioned by God to be an encourager to other people. Hebrews 3, we begin in verse number 12. The Bible says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Hebrews 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, would you go to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's notice another verse here. God tells us that we are to exhort one another daily. Now, that's quite a responsibility. That we are to encourage, we are to lift up, we are to strengthen. Now, may I tell you, encouragement is not flattery. It's not flattery. Encouragement is for the purpose of building people up, strengthening people to walk with God and to recognize God's hand in their life. Hebrews 10:25 tells us this, It says, not forsaking. Can we start in verse number 24? I'm sorry. The Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The implication of Hebrews chapter 10 is referring to when we assemble together that we are to encourage one another. Can I ask you, when you come to the house of the Lord, do you come to just sit and receive, which we are to receive God's word, but do you come seeking to encourage one another? Because that is the command that God gives us. Years ago, I heard the story about a lady in Dallas, Texas. And she was a lady that had one of these big old expensive cars. I mean, just a big old car during that time. And she came to a parking lot and she was trying to pull in. Of course, the car was so big, she had to back it up so she could pull in straight. And right before she was getting ready to pull into this parking lot, here's this little punk of a kid in a sports car came in and whipped right in front of her and got her parking space. And the lady was mad. She rolled down the window and she said, "Sonny, why did you do that?" And the boy began to laugh and he said, "Because I am young and fast." And he walked into. Next thing you know, he heard some crashing going on outside. Banging. He walked out and this lady had her car in reverse and was slamming into his sports car. I mean, smashing it all to pieces. He ran out there and he said, "Woman, what in the world are you doing? Why are you doing this to my car?" She said, "Because I'm old and rich." That's what she said, you know? Well, let me tell you this. Just because the woman could do it or could afford to do it didn't mean she needed to do it. And brethren, tonight, your life and my life makes a difference in the lives of other people. And you and I have the ability, we have the opportunity to encourage, to build up people, or to tear people down. And just because we have the ability to do it, or we think the right to do it, doesn't mean we should. Tonight, God has given us a great privilege and a great responsibility that we are to encourage one another. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that you and I are to do everything within our power to strengthen other believers in the Lord and to help them to trust the Lord, to obey the Lord. Now, what does encourage mean? What does the actual word to encourage or to exhort one another? The idea of the word encourage means one called alongside of. Now that's a very important definition. It means to help. It means to console. It means to strengthen. It means to instill courage in another person. The ideal, we get the word encourager literally from the word of the Holy Spirit that is used to be the comforter. You know, the Bible uses the Greek word paraclete, which is comforter, one called alongside to help. That's the Holy Spirit. He indwells you and me if we know Christ as our Savior. He is called alongside of us to help us, to teach us God's word, to keep us from sin and to withstand temptation, to guide us and direct us. But an encourager tonight is to be called alongside to assist, to strengthen, to help. Brethren, encouragement is something that God has given us all to do. Do you know something tonight? Every one of us is capable of being an encouragement. But we are also capable of being a discouragement to other people. Now, the truth of the matter is, I cannot be an encouragement in my own strength. I'm not able. You know why? Because every one of us tonight, we are selfish. We're born that way. We live that way. Look, can I tell you something? Most of the time, we think mostly of ourselves. We think of what is important to us. We think of our aches, our pains, our problems, our sorrows. So how can you and I be an encourager? To be an encourager, you have to think more of the other person than you think of yourself. Because Jesus Christ lives in you and me. we can be an encouragement that God wants us to be. I believe that the Spirit of God who indwells me tonight, He is our comforter. And can I tell you this tonight? When I am allowing the Spirit of God to work through me, I am a comfort to other people. But when I am a discomfort to people and a discouragement to people, it is an indication that I am not a Spirit-filled man. And by the way, I'm going to say this and I want you to understand this. Brethren, a Christian that is Spirit-filled can do great things for God, but a Christian that is not Spirit-filled will do horrible things against the Lord. You take men and women in the church that have great ability and great talent and great opportunity. If they are not Spirit-filled men and women, they will do great harm to the cause of Jesus Christ because they'll think, well, I'm saved and I know the right thing to do. Brethren, we don't know the right things to say. We don't know how to be an encouragement unless we yield ourselves first to Christ and we are Spirit-filled men and women walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit because Christ in you and me wants to encourage other people. He wants to strengthen other people. In fact, we think of the story of David and Jonathan. Do you know what Jonathan did to David? He strengthened his hand in God. After David had been around with Jonathan, he wanted to serve God more. He was happy about serving the Lord. He was joyful about serving the Lord. You know what? There are some people that they discourage people from wanting to serve God. Do you know that I've had people say to me, and I'm not talking about this church, but I've been out visiting before, and I have met people before, and they have said, well, if so-and-so goes to your church, I'm never coming to that church. Now, thankfully, so-and-so didn't come to my church, all right? But you know what they were saying? They were saying, if that type of person can sit in the pew Sunday after Sunday and listen to the preaching and treat people the way that they treat people, something is wrong in their life. Do you know this? If people come to Grace Baptist Church and they are not welcomed and greeted and people are gracious and kind to them, they'll never darken the doors of the church and they never should. I mean, really? Do you know that God's people here should be the happiest, the joyous, the most people that are friendly and kind and gracious? Why? Because we have the best church in town. That's not it. It is because Jesus Christ indwells us tonight, and we should show forth Christ to anyone and to everyone. You know, I have great convictions, and I do. And I believe strongly in my convictions because they are Bible convictions. But brethren, if you take God's word and you use it just to beat people over the head, that is not the spirit of Jesus Christ. We should have convictions, and we should drive our convictions deep down in the ground. But brethren, above the ground, we should have grace and mercy and compassion and love and godliness and friendliness. And people should be attracted because of our desire to encourage. And by the way, do you know this ideal of being an encourager is not just for the people of God? I believe that wherever we go, people ought to say something is different about that man. Something is different about that woman because they are kind. They are courteous. They are gracious. They say thank you. They are a person filled with the grace of God. You know what was said of Jesus Christ? They condemned him because he was a friend of sinners. Now, that didn't mean that Jesus condoned their behavior, but Jesus was approachable to where sinners wanted to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not self-righteous. He was godly. In fact, the Bible says he was full of grace and truth. He had all the truth, but he was full of grace. You know, that grace, that spirit of Christ-likeness. Oh, may God teach us. Can I tell you this? If my fellowship with Jesus Christ is right tonight, then my fellowship with other people will be right. For instance, a man would be the husband and the father that he needs to be if he will love the Lord Jesus like he needs to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lady will be the wife and mother that she should be if she will love Christ like she should love them. This is not a message about how that we can become better encouragers tonight. And this is a six-step plan for us to be better encouragers. That's not it. It is for us to walk so close to the Lord and to have the Spirit of Christ emanating from our life that we are the encouragers to other people, because that is what Christ is. He is the comforter. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And He wants us as God's people, His people, to encourage, exhort one another daily. You see, the emphasis tonight is not for me to try harder. The emphasis is not for me to have some kind of resolve about being an encourager to other people. The emphasis tonight is for me and you to say, God, help me to treat people as You would have me to treat them. And a part of that is being an encourager. Do you know that in this church, we should look around for people that we can encourage in the Lord? You know, for instance, some of you ought to say some of these, I'm encouraged by this. I'm encouraged by so many things. But you know that for me as a pastor, sometimes people say, Pastor, I'm praying for your children. Boy, that encourages me. I see people the way that they treat other children in our church. And by the way, you know, we should love the children of our church. It's not just that because they're the next generation, because that's how Jesus Christ lived and acted. When He walked the face of the earth, children flocked to Him. They loved being with Jesus. I can see it now. Jesus walking and the children running. There's Jesus. He loves me and I love Him. Can people say about you, boy, that person is Christ-like? You know, I've known people growing up in church where, man, you just didn't want to talk to those people because they were grumpy, you know? They were just unkind people. You asked them how they were doing, and 30 minutes later, you found out, you know? And they were just so self-consumed. They were people that were just concerned about themselves. They were not concerned about anyone else. But I can remember right now, men and women alike that I grew up with, men and women that were kind, had the Spirit of Christ about them. They took an interest in my life. They prayed for me. I can remember one time in particular that my youth pastor's wife, I was in college at the time, and she was such a kind, gracious lady. And she prayed for me and she encouraged me. And I guess she felt sorry for me in college. I think I was a sophomore getting ready to be a junior. And she said to me, she said, Aaron, I'm going to pray this year that God brings into your life the young lady that He wants you to marry. And boy, that meant a lot to me. Well, sure enough, lo and behold, that next year I met Joy Smith. And got her name changed, got that straightened out, you know, and all that. But can I tell you something? That meant something to me. She took an interest in my life. They came to our wedding, drove all the way from Knoxville to Atlanta, Georgia, to be there for that. Her and her husband sang in our wedding. Man, that was special to me. They took an interest in my life. They encouraged me. My pastor growing up, he wrote letters. And boy, I have every one of them, every one that he's written me. And it is encouragement to me. Brethren, may God help us to determine in our hearts that we will walk so close to the Lord, that we will abide in Christ, so that His Spirit of friendship and His Spirit of Christ-likeness, His Spirit of graciousness and sweetness and love and His Spirit of mercy will emanate from our life. People will know that we have been in His presence. I'll tell you this, I got news for you. If I were to take you to Tennessee and you were to stay there for a month, I got news for you, you would start talking like a Tennessean. I got news for you right there. You would. It would happen. How many knows that when you go someplace like that, you start talking like that? Would you raise your hand? Guess what? It rubs off on you. And you come back saying y'all, and y'all say all different things like that, and you have all these words. Guess what? It's rubbing off on you. Well, can I tell you this? When we are alone with Christ, it is not a spirit of criticism, a spirit of complaining, a spirit of judgmental attitude of looking at people and wanting always to point out the wrong things in someone's life, but it is the spirit of Christ-likeness. If we are in His presence, we will be the encourager that God has called us to be. You know what? Every last one of us in this church should say this. I'm going to get my eyes off myself. And I'm going to get my eyes on the Lord, and I'm going to start helping people to strengthen them and strengthen their hand in God. I'm going to strengthen the young people of our church. I'm going to strengthen the young couples of our church. I'm going to be a blessing and encouragement and find out how I can help them and be of use to them. Now, why do we need encouragement? You see, the Lord knows that we need encouragement, every one of us. I don't care who you are or what you've gone through, everyone here tonight needs encouragement. Every one of you. And when you think, well, that person always smiles and that person always seems like they're just doing great. Brethren, listen, may I tell you that every one of us need a good word spoken, an encouraging word, something that someone can say or something that someone can do. And listen, we live in a broken world where everything calls us towards selfishness and despair and a world that is disillusioned about the things of God. Everyone needs encouragement. That is why the Lord has called upon us, His people, to encourage one another. You see, brethren, I remember the story in 1994 about Thurman Thomas. 1994, Thurman Thomas, he was the one on the Super Bowl team. Now, you know what? To be very honest with you, I kind of forgot about the Super Bowl tonight, you know? And we got the Lord's table and all of that going on. But, someone said to me today something about it. I was like, man, you know, when I scheduled having the Lord's table, I forgot all about that. But we're having a Super Sunday tonight right here, all right? We're looking in God's Word. But getting back to this, this was years ago in 1994 during the Super Bowl. A man by the name of Thurman Thomas had his head bowed and his hands covering his face. He sat on the Buffalo bench following his team's fourth straight Super Bowl loss. You see, there he, and during the game, he had three fumbles during the game that helped seal the awful fate of the Buffalo Bills. Suddenly, standing before him was the Dallas Cowboys star running back, Emmitt Smith. Many of you know that name. He was just named MVP for the Super Bowl that very year. Smith was carrying his small little goddaughter with him. And in a moment, Smith looked down at her and said, "Honey, I want you to meet the greatest running back in NFL, Mr. Thurman Thomas." Now, that man had just literally almost lost the Super Bowl for his team at that moment. But here was a man that knew that in a moment, that man needed a word of encouragement. In a moment, he looked at that little girl and said, "I want you to meet the greatest running back in NFL history." And that man is sitting there with hands over his face thinking, "I've ruined it all. I'm an outcast. I'm a scorn." Brethren, that man needed someone to lift him up and to encourage him. But how much more do we, as God's people, need to encourage one another? Now, I'm going to give you some simple things here tonight. How can you and I encourage one another? Number one. Use words to encourage one another. Now, I begin with this because there is nothing that can discourage more than our words. Words are powerful. What does the Bible tell us? You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:4. Would you take your Bibles and let's go there, because I want to show you some things tonight. Do you know that when the tongue is surrendered to Christ and dominated by the Holy Spirit, it becomes one of the most useful members in our bodies. But brethren, when it falls under the control of the enemy, it does untold damage and harm. Do you know that you and I do not have the capability to forget what people say to us? Because the words still hurt. Now, we must forgive them. We must forgive them because Christ has forgiven us. But brethren, do you know how much words can make a difference? Proverbs 15:4, the Bible says this. It says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." Proverbs 18, would you turn there? I want you to notice this powerful verse. Proverbs 18 and verse number 21. The Bible says this. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, there is nothing more powerful than what the Bible says, a word spoken in due season, how good is it? There is nothing more powerful than that. There is nothing more encouraging when to hear from someone, I'm praying for you. Boy, those are encouraging words. To hear from someone, you did a great job out there. Look here, we've got girls and kids around here that are learning how to play the piano and learning how to play musical instruments. We ought to do our utmost best as a church that when they play, we say, great job. I'm so excited for you. And God's going to use you one day to be a blessing to other people. You know how that will encourage them in the Lord? When someone sings a song, we ought to tell them, thank you for singing. Thank you for standing up there. And your song ministered to me. God used it in my life. That was a great song. Thank you for that. Listen, we ought to look for ways every day that we can encourage one another. Use your words to encourage. Now look, every one of us have said things. The moment it leaves our mouth, we wish we could reach out and grab it and pull it back in. All of us have used our words in the wrong way. In James chapter 3, we don't have time to turn there, but the Bible compares our tongue to a fire. Fire, when it's controlled and in the right setting, warms and heats and boy, it does all kinds of wonderful things. I mean, hey, I ate food today that was fired, you know? It was warmed by fire. I have a fire in my house to keep me warm. I have a fire underneath my hot water heater to keep it warm. I mean, fire is used in your vehicle. You got here tonight because there was a sustained, controlled fire. But when it is out of control, it does more harm and damage than what we could ever imagine. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Guard what you say. Think before you speak. You know, sometimes the most difficult times is not what we say, but what to say. For instance, what about someone that loses a loved one? Sometimes we grasp for words to say to them, but oh, listen, be careful. You know what I have found? If you don't know what to say, then sometimes to say nothing is the best thing. And oftentimes just to say, I'm praying for you. And I'm asking God to help you and strengthen you. You see, brethren, so many times I've used my words and I've said something and I've discouraged someone. And how it grieves my heart to know that I've discouraged someone in their Christian walk and in their Christian life because of something that I've said. What should our words contain? You know, our words should be pleasant words. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Think of that. Pleasant words. Be pleasant with your speaking. Husbands, can I tell you this? Every one of us as men ought to seek to be an encourager to our wife. And by the way, let me say this. Look, men, I'm going to say this because I need this to be said. Men, oftentimes, your wife and my wife doesn't need our words. They need simply our shoulder. Now, look, I'll tell you this. Women, you got to have mercy on us. Because us men, God has made us in such a way as to where we want to fix something. For years in our marriage, that was one of the difficult things. My wife wanted to share something with me. Well, I was wanting to fix it, you know. Let's take care of this. Here's a four-step plan. This is what we're going to do to get this settled so that you can have joy once again, all right? But you know what? One day my wife said, honey, I don't need you to do anything. I just want you to listen to me. And you know, the truth is sometimes the best way we can encourage one another is not necessarily with something we say, but listening to other people. I have been with people before and they come to me for counseling and honestly, I just sit there and listen to them and after we get done, they say, boy, Pastor, you helped me. And I think, man, I didn't say nothing, you know? I just tried to listen and tried to be a blessing. And brethren, sometimes people just need us to listen to them. You see, we must encourage one another, but use our words, pleasant words. Another type of words, gracious words. Why is it so hard for us to say that at times? You know what? With our children, you know, you've done it. Someone gives your child a piece of candy and you stand there and you're waiting for them to say thank you. If you don't say thank you, I'm going to beat you when we get home, you know? And what do we have to say? What are you supposed to say? Say thank you. You know, it's like, man, it's pulling teeth, you know, to get it out of them. But it's the same with us. Can I just say this to you? The Bible says the foolish man, all he does is talk about himself. He swallows up himself. But the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Thank you. You did a wonderful job. That was beautiful. Thank you for that. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your labor. Thank you. They are gracious. That encourages people. It lifts people up. It strengthens them. It builds them up to say, thank you. God is using you. Thank you for that. Do you know what it does for me as a pastor? When people say, Pastor, thank you. God used that message to help me. Brother, that's all I need right there. It encourages me. Why? Because God is using me. And that's what I want to be used of God. Well, guess what? Everyone else wants to be used of God as well. Use gracious words, pleasant words. Here's another type of word. Wholesome words. Proverbs 15:4, I read it. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? There is nothing like a word that is spoken in due season. Proverbs 12, verse number 18, would you turn there? Because I want to show this to you. I know I'm spending a good amount of time on our words, but I think it is the most important part of encouraging. Would it not be a horrible thing that if a Christian used his power, and every one of us has power, the power of the tongue, because death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you have the power and I have the power. Do you know what? I have the power to tear down people with my tongue. I can do it. I have the power to humiliate someone with my tongue. I can do it, and so can you. But I also have the power to build up and to strengthen and to look for the good in people, not the evil. Look, if you look at me long enough, you'll find lots to criticize me about. Lots. If you look at our church, you can find something to criticize every single Sunday here. Every single Sunday. Something's wrong. Something's not in its place. Something is not correct as it needs to be. But you know what? Would it not be a blessing if you're not the person that is always criticizing, always looking for something that is wrong, but you're wholesome? Your words are gracious. Your words feed people, not tear people down. Your words strengthen people, not drain people. We have the power. We must encourage one another. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You know what that is saying? There is a choice with your words. You can use your words like a sword and cut people and hurt people and criticize people and make fun of people. I remember this. Oh, I can't. It is so crazy. It is funny to think about it. Years ago, when my wife was expecting our first child. And you know, when a woman is expecting, they grow. That's how God made it to be, you know? And she was great with child, as the Bible would say it. There was a man in our church, and he was great, but not with child, all right? Let me just put it to you that way. He had eaten his fair share of Twinkies, all right? Let me just put it that way, all right? But my wife came walking down the hallway, and he said to her, "My goodness, you are huge." That's what he said to her. Well, we haven't found that man because I'm joking, all right? But anyway, he's buried under the church. I'm joking, all right? But boy, it hurt my wife. And it was almost like, man, you have no excuse. You know, she's having a baby. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, to this day, my wife remembers that. To this day. That was years and years ago. The man was careless with his words. Look, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. You can use your tongue like a sword and cut people wherever you go. You can cut your spouse and cut your children and you can cut your employees and you can hurt people with your words. But the Bible says this, but the tongue of the wise is health. It's healing. It's It's encouraging. Young people, can I tell you something? Your parents need encouragement. Did you know that? Because your parents, you know, they're doing the best they can do. They want to raise you for the glory of God, but they don't feel like that they're doing exactly everything they need to be doing because, guess what? It's all new to every one of us as parents. They need encouragement. Parents, our young people need encouragement. Look, I don't want it to be that all our children hear from us is reproof and correction and chastisement. They need to hear encouragement. They need to hear, you did a good job on that test. Hey, you did a good job cleaning your room. I can see you now, all right? And, look, we ought to look for ways to encourage our children. Write them letters of notes and encourage them and lift them up. They need it. Why? Because the devil is hard at work discouraging people. The devil is the accuser. See these words, another type of words, forgiving words. You know what would heal some people? I'll tell you what would heal some people is for someone to humble themselves and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That would heal some people. But they won't say it because they're too proud to say it. They won't say it because they refuse to be an encourager to other people. Listen, encourage one another with your words. David prayed, Psalm 141, verse 34, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. David said, God, put a soldier at the door of my lips. And Lord, keep anything coming out that is dishonoring to you. Oh, Lord, help my words to be right. We live in a world that is fast and technology is advancing, and I'm not against any of that. But you know something? There ought to be times that we ought to take time to sit down and write a letter. I know this past week I had some kids send me some letters because they had completed their Bible reading in Tennessee, where I went to preach at a camp this past year. And you know, I'll tell you something, I don't know what it is for every camp speaker, but every time I go, I want every kid to be saved and every kid to surrender their life to the Lord, and I'm burdened for those kids. And sometimes you think, man, do they get anything? Do they listen? Well, I got four in an envelope, and I really didn't know, had names, but I knew the name of the church. And so I called the church, and the pastor answered, and I knew this pastor in Tennessee, Lenore City. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Samples, he said, we took four kids to camp. And he said, two of them were saved, two of them were unsaved. Two of them got saved at camp, and all four of them read through the Bible, that Bible reading schedule that I gave them. I'm going to tell you something, man. I floated out of my office, you know. Man, I was encouraged. I was encouraged because that strengthened my heart in the Lord. You know what? You may say, well, I can't do this and do that, but can you write a letter? Can you write a card? Can you, you know, we ought to pray that God would lay people on our hearts that we ought to make a phone call or sit down and write a card and just say, I'm praying for you. May the Lord help you through this time. You know, use your words. Now, let me say this. Let me encourage you. Never use a card or a letter to reprove someone. Never. You say, well, why, Pastor? Is it not good sense? It's not good sense, but number one, it's just not biblical. Do you know what the Bible says? If you have aught against your brother, send him a long text message. That's what you're supposed to do. No. Write him an email. No. You know what God says? Go to him. If you have aught against your brother, go to him face to face. Talk to him. You don't go to someone else about that person. You go to that person. You know, I've gotten my fair share of letters in my life of people writing letters to reprove. Look here, you know the problem is? I can't see that person's face when they're talking to me. I don't know if they're angry. I don't know if they're mad. I don't know what it is. That's why it's not a good ideal. And God says it's not a good ideal. And by the way, never write a letter to reprove, to correct. Go to them in person. And look here, never write a letter and not sign it. I've got my fair share of anonymous letters. Can I tell you something? They are very hurtful. And they hurt people beyond what you could ever imagine. Because you know what people do? When it's anonymous, they try to think, who sent the letter? They try to think to themselves, did so-and-so do it? You know what that does? It causes dissension. It causes disarrest in the church. Because the devil says, well, I know who did that. So-and-so did it. No, so-and-so did it. And now the person is in church thinking, who wrote that letter? And by the way, we have a mailbox system in our church. Never, never use that to reprove someone. To say, hey, you need to straighten this out in your life. You need to correct this. Look, that's nobody's business. Nobody's business. That out there is used to encourage people, to strengthen people, to give people things back that they borrowed from you, whatever it may be, to send people invitations to things. That's what that is out there for. It's to be a blessing, to be an encouragement. Listen, use your words. Write letters to encourage and to lift up and to build up. You say, well, Pastor, I'm getting things done this way. No, you're causing harm to the cause of Jesus Christ. Because God has called us. Look, do you know what your position and my position is? It's not to straighten people out. That's not it. It's not to find out what's wrong with other people's lives that's wrong and to write them a letter and not to sign it and to tell them everything that's wrong in their life. No, you know what our position is to do? Is to pray for one another, to love one another, to forgive one another, to encourage one another. Write notes. Parents, can I encourage you to do this? Write notes to your children. Put it in their lunchbox. Put it in a place where they can find it. Kids, let me tell you something. You want to get nice things in life, you know, presents from your parents? Write them letters. They like it, you know. Put it under their pillow at night. Tell them how much you love them and thank God for them. They provide food for you, multiple food for you, all right? They take care of you. You wouldn't be alive without your mom and dad. Listen, let's use the power of the tongue, the power of a handwritten letter, the power of something. I know this. I'll tell you this. Encourage my heart. I think Phil, I forget who, Phil Paxman or Tim Jones or somebody told Ryan Cole about the message a couple of nights ago that I preached on, Where Was God on Friday? And they told me that Ryan and Julie and Logan watched that message that night. And man, that encouraged my heart. But more than that, Ryan, I think it was last Sunday night when I came home, he messaged me on Facebook and said, he just wrote me the kindest letter and said, Pastor, thank you for the message. We all three listened to it and God used it to strengthen us. Look, he didn't have to do that. He's got plenty to deal with. But you know something? That lifted my heart. That encouraged me in the Lord. Listen, use specific notes or cards to encourage. Number three, I've got to hasten. Speak well of people behind their back and in front of other people. Now look, this is something good. Brag on people to other people. Brag on them. I have had people before, and I appreciate it. It means the world to me. Maybe I've had a special speaker here, and I've had them come in and preach, and they're good preachers and all that. People have come up to me and say, Preacher, they're good, but I like you better, you know? And I'm like, good, I was kind of hoping you'd say that, you know? And but you know, the truth is, I've had special people here before, like my dad, my mom, Pastor Sexton, and other people. And you all have went to them and, you know, you kind of lied a little bit and bragged on me to them, you know. But boy, it meant the world. Look, when parents, let me encourage you, brag on your children in front of other people and in the presence of your children. They would like to hear it. Your children would get a blessing out of it, an encouragement out of them. Look, we ought to encourage and lift up people and strengthen people. Why? Because everyone needs encouragement. Number four, I must hasten. Show acceptance to encourage one another. Do you know that every one of us wants something? We want approval and we want acceptance. We want to be accepted. We want to feel like we fit in. And we need to approve of people. Now, let me stop and say this. Not that we approve of their sin or we condone their sin or their wicked lifestyle. That is not it. But that we love them with the love of Christ. Look, can I tell you this? Any man, woman, boy, or girl of any color, race, of any color of hair, or whatever it may be, is welcome to come to Grace Baptist Church. And we love them with the love of Jesus Christ. And I want them to feel that love. But look here, we ought to show acceptance. Do you know some people, I feel like I can never please them. I'll never be able to live up to their expectations. Look, don't have expectations of people that they can never live up to. That's unrealistic expectations. Accept people for who they are and love them with the love of Christ. You say, why, Pastor? Because that's how God treats you and me. God does not say to me, Aaron, if you live a certain way, I'll really love you. He doesn't do that. And I thank God for it, because the Lord accepts me for who I am. And yes, He wants me to grow and to become more like Him, but He loves me for who I am. You know what I am tonight? I'm accepted in the Beloved. And every one of us tonight, you're accepted in the Beloved. You don't have to do something to be accepted of God. He accepts you for who you are. He created you. But we ought to accept one another. Number five, the last thing, as we notice tonight, be a giver to encourage one another. Be a giver. Find ways to give to other people. It could be of your time. It could be a gift. It could be some expression of your love and care. You know, I'll tell you this. So often when we give a gift that we have thought it through and we know what that person would like, that is a special gift. It's encouraging because you think they thought of me enough to know what would be a blessing to me at this time. Brethren, tonight we ought to pray and ask God to help us to be an encouragement. Ask Him to give you a heart to love people and to be an encouragement to other people. We ought to pray that God would enable us. We ought to ask God to bring someone to our mind that we can seek to be an encouragement to. It might be a child. It might be a teenager. Now look, we ought to be wise. The Bible says we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So therefore, we ought to be very careful. For instance, if I were to send a note to a teenage girl, that would need to be something that my wife and I would send to her. Because that is just wise. That is appropriate. That is the way it needs to be. And we ought to be appropriate in our encouragement of other people and our love for other people. But pray and ask God to lay people on your heart. And pray and ask God to use you to be an encourager. I don't have time to turn there, but Barnabas was one of the greatest encouragers in the Word of God. And do you know what? His nickname was Encourager. What's your nickname? Can people say, well, there's someone who encourages me. Number two, we ought to make encouragement a discipline. Now, here's what I mean. For some of us, encouragement might come naturally, but for others, we need to have a reminder about encouragement. You know, maybe on a calendar. Write people's names on certain places on the calendar to where you will be an encouragement to them. You know, maybe say, you know what, on this week I'm gonna send a letter. I'm gonna do something encouragement for so and so. I'm gonna do this for my children. I'm gonna do this for my wife. I'm gonna do this for my husband. The Bible tells us in Jude verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. You know what? I am not making a difference if I do not have compassion. And you know what? It takes compassion to be an encourager, to lift people up.